listeners very confused, because this summer we usually have our interviews for Today's Hope for Women the last Wednesday of the month. But this summer, because of the summer schedule, we have mixed it around. So here it is, Tuesday, August 1st, and we're doing our interview. Why have today? Well, we are blessed today because, as our listeners who are friends with me on Facebook know, this is the third part of our three-part series on living victoriously through freedom from pornography. And they will remember Mr. Ron Diaz. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Tina. How are you?
I am good. We're so glad to have you back.
Great to be here.
Our listeners may know that we had you on about 2 months ago when you came, and the goal of our interview was to talk about, well, what is pornography and what is it doing to our nation? And the Lord spoke through you, Mr. Ron, and just sending a huge fiery dart into the darkness. You clearly exposed with data the national and church-wide crises we're experiencing, with that underlying theme of healing and victory that can come through Jesus Christ. Then we had just last month a friend who established with her personal testimony exactly what you talked about, how destructive pornography is for individuals and families that are addicted to it. And as we planned, you would be back with us today, August 1st, to talk to us for about 30 minutes as we look at what is freedom through pornography addiction look like. So to jump right in, Mr. Ron Diaz, for those that are just joining us, is the president and co-founder of Covenant Eyes. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show with us this morning.
And it's fantastic to be here, Dr. Tina.
I have a hard question to throw at you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Is it possible to defeat lust and pornography? If so, how?
Oh, you know, I get this question fairly often, actually. Is it possible to defeat lust and pornography? Last time we talked about what pornography is and the damage that it's doing, which is pretty clear. And then last time, I believe it was June 28th, you had on a guest who talked about overcoming it and the devastation in a marriage. The short answer is yes, it is possible to defeat lust and pornography. And if I may, I'd like to talk, I think about it on three levels, and I'd like to talk about it on three levels, if that's okay with you.
Yes, perfect.
To begin with, from the personal level, we here at Covenant Eyes have a great customer service, by the way, and when people call, the average call length is over 10 minutes because we really try to talk to people and find out where they're at. And about three times a year, we actually get people, mostly men, in fact, I think they've always been men, who are actually suicidal. They were ready to end their lives because they recognized the damage that pornography was doing in their lives. I've also heard from people who are suicidal and have completely overcome the issue of pornography in their lives. You know, lust is the one sin that throughout the Bible, people in the Bible, the great leaders in the Bible, have been overcome with this issue of lust. And that is certainly an issue today for, I think, everybody. And so the first thing, from a personal basis, in order to defeat it, is the person has to know in their heart that it is wrong to begin with. And I say that thinking it ought to be obvious that it's wrong, but honestly, many of our young people today, actually in Christian colleges around the country, many of the young people actually don't even recognize that it's wrong. And so, you know, that really is a different issue, but nevertheless, that is the first thing that you have to recognize that it's wrong. And then they, from on a personal basis, need to express a desire for obedience to God, a desire from your heart. Romans chapter 6 talks about this, that that obedience from the heart leads to righteousness. And simply going through the act of obedience, of staying away from pornography, just turning your head away from it, even though you still have lust in your heart, perhaps you have, you're addicted, but nevertheless, the simple act of obedience, forcing yourself to turn your head, is one of the first steps. And then you need to, Romans chapter 6 also talks about the fact that obedience leads to righteousness, and righteousness then leads to sanctification, and sanctification to eternal life. And so I firmly believe that Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer. And to turn to God and find ways of triggering the good rather than the bad. It's easy to find triggers for looking at pornography or lusting in your heart, but it takes an effort to find triggers that lead to good thoughts, to setting your thoughts captive, and just getting ready to set those thoughts aside, and you turn your mind to that which is good. God allows us to do that. He gives us permission to do that. He gives us the ability to do that. That final verse in chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, yes, it can be done. For on the second level, and that level would be for the spouse or the loved one of a person who is either addicted or struggling with pornography, yes, there certainly is hope. And I have to tell you, I'm sure there are listeners out there right now who are thinking, no, there isn't any hope. I've given up. I don't have any confidence that this can be overcome. I'm telling you, it can. And not only can it be overcome, it can be overcome in a way that your life is even better than it was. I promise you that. And if you listen to the June 28th recording that you did, Dr. Tina, or if you go onto the Covenant Eyes Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Covenant Eyes. I have been doing a series of interviews on Wednesdays, and those interviews are all available. And I often ask the question of a spouse whose husband has been addicted to pornography, how do I overcome this? Can it be overcome? Is there hope? And their answer is always yes. Not only is there hope, not only can it be overcome, but my life is better now than it was before. So the first two levels are the personal and then the spouse or the loved one. The third level is culture. It's kind of a general question. Is it possible to defeat lust and pornography? Is it possible on a cultural basis? When I was a kid, Ricky and Lucy were on the I Love Lucy show, would sleep in separate beds in their pajamas. And
yes.
Look where we've come.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, when I was a kid, smoke was everywhere. In restaurants, in offices, in auditoriums, you couldn't get away from it. Look what we've done with smoking. We have pretty much eliminated it from the public eye. And if we can do that, then I really do believe, yes, it can be overcome culturally. But the answer to that is the individual, the personal, and the spouse or loved one. It requires a community. And then one other thing for hope, and this will be my final point on this idea of hope to defeat lust and pornography, and that is every case I have heard of someone overcoming this issue involves another person. It involves a loved one or a counselor or a pastor or a spouse or someone that the person struggling can turn to first of all, to confess and so on, to overcome this issue. And that is a very important element in the idea of defeating lust and pornography.
Mm-hmm. Yes, having that accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For our listeners who want they often feel, particularly when they call and they're suicidal, that they're in this alone, that there's no one there to support them. And so I want you to repeat that, facebook.com/covenant eyes. Is that it?
Yeah. Yes. And I would recommend your listeners have a pencil in hand, because during our discussion I'll probably give some other resources as well. Facebook.com/covenant eyes. Please go on and subscribe to the Facebook page. And we also have a YouTube channel that we also have some good videos on.
Yeah. It's just so helpful to hear other couples share their testimony to say, no, we've been there. We are right where you are. And we've journeyed just a little bit farther and have found hope and have found victory. And that just, it just puts out some tangible hope that other people can hold on to and say, if these folks can do it, then I can do it too. Mm-hmm. So there's great testimony and great support and encouragement and hope when we know the truth that we are not alone in this, and there's others that are farther along on this journey that have been right where some of our listeners are. So we know that we have listeners, as you mentioned, that are struggling with this issue right now in their marriage. How could they begin to rebuild their marriage?
Well, I think that the first step, and this is kind of reflecting some of the steps that I've heard from these people that I've interviewed and other over the years, I've come across many people who have struggled with this and overcome it in amazing ways. So, you know, I want to just begin by saying, yes, there is hope. It can be overcome, it takes effort, but nevertheless, there are some steps that you can do. And so how do you begin to rebuild your marriage? Well, the first thing, and I guess these aren't necessarily in a chronological order. Some of these things probably need to be done together or over and over again. And that would be to confess, for the person who's struggling to confess. And also for the spouse who you may have a spouse who is struggling with pornography, even addicted to pornography. But all of us are sinners, and there's nobody that's without sin, and so it's necessary for both parties to be willing to confess that which is that you're struggling with. But particularly for the person who is struggling with pornography, to be able to confess that. You might start by confessing to another person, a pastor or an accountability partner, but ultimately the best really is to be able to confess it to your spouse or loved one, and in a marriage, of course, the spouse. Another step is to pray. I'm a great believer in the power of prayer, and praying both alone and together. It's important to pray together about this issue, because God will speak to you through that prayer. Another step would be to seek resources. For instance, the resources I mentioned on CovenantEyes.com Facebook page. You can go to CovenantEyes.com. There are, if you go to CovenantEyes.com/ebooks, we have some great books, the wife of the husband who is struggling with pornography, the physical effects on the body of pornography, and so on. And so those, seek resources. And there are many other resources out there. Seek counseling. One of the things that I have focused on in my Wednesday interviews on Facebook is to talk to counselors. And if you really want to seek a counselor, many of them will take phone calls. And you can listen to those Facebook Live segments and pick one out that you think you resonate with. They have different approaches and different styles, and so pick one out that you resonate with. But it probably is important to seek counseling of some kind. Another step is to establish accountability. We need accountability. You know, people might say, well, all I need is Christ. And, you know, in a sense, that certainly is true. Christ is the ultimate answer. But in the meantime, here on earth, we do need, there are so many one another verses, we need each other. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, found when he returned after leaving, he had given his people three basic instructions. Follow these instructions. And when he got back, he found they violated every one of them, and so he had to set accountability measures in place to maintain accountability. And so accountability, that's the business of Covenant Eyes, is accountability. Accountability on the Internet. And in the next year, we're actually going to be releasing accountability on all screen time, which is pretty exciting. So I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
Another step, ask the tough questions. When you talk, if your spouse is struggling with Internet pornography, ask the tough questions. Talk about the triggers. Pornography is one thing, but after being addicted to pornography, most addicts or former addicts talk about the triggers that they don't even need the pornography anymore. They might just need the bathing suit or the lingerie site. And so talk about those triggers. And then the final thing is train your children. You don't want them following in these footsteps. Train your children.
Well, those all sound very helpful and very practical tips that we can do. That last one about training your children actually leads us into our next question about prevention. We've always heard prevention is the best medicine, and that's certainly true with this problem. How do we go about protecting our children?
I think back, and maybe I mentioned this back on June 1st when we talked last, that when I was a kid, I was taught that heroin is an actually forbidden substance. You don't go anywhere near it. You avoid it at all costs because it's deadly. And that was so ingrained. The teachers talked about it. The parents talked about it. Even your friends talked about it. And so I don't think I've ever seen heroin as a result. And yet, heroin is said to be an epidemic right now, that it is a drug of choice in our culture. And so heroin obviously is a bad thing. However, the addiction rate of being addicted to heroin is only 1/100th the addiction rate of pornography. And that probably is an understatement. Being addicted to pornography there are more than 100 times people addicted to pornography than there are to heroin. And pornography and heroin can be overcome. You know, a few years later, you can actually overcome heroin and never think about it again. It's not so with pornography. Pornography is such that the images are ingrained in our brain. And it really does take a miracle of God. I haven't heard many instances where a person is completely able to erase the images from your brain. Those images are always there. They're burned in our minds. And so, in a sense, and this is in a very real sense, pornography is worse than heroin. And pornography can be deadly. I mentioned those suicide calls that we've gotten. It can be deadly. And so don't we, as good parents, want to protect our children? This is so essential. I have asked audiences of over 3,000 people total now over the past several months. I've asked audiences, how many of you have never, ever seen pornography? Now, these are adult audiences. How many of you have never, ever seen pornography? And I've, out of 3,000 people, I've had a total of 6 people raise their hands. And 5 of the 6 were women who I would guess are over 70 years old. The other was a man who's over 70 years old. So your kids will see pornography. At least they'll be exposed to it.
Yeah.
And so we need to train them. Of course, we need to protect them as best we can, But I'll tell you, you can have the most secure filter in the world on your computer, and they're still looking at billboards on the highway. And we're so surrounded. We need that cultural change, but in the meantime, we have to protect our children. And the best way of protecting them is to train them not to look to begin with. In order to train them that, we need to tell them what pornography is. Actually, we do need to tell them that. The average age of exposure for boys is 8. Average age of exposure for girls is 14. And that they will see. By the time they're 18, they are going to see pornography. And so how long are they going to look at it? Are they just going to glance? Are they going to see it as something wrong? Or are they going to see it as something, wow, that's kind of interesting? Well, the answer to that question depends on the training that the parents provide to begin with. And so we need to tell them at a young age. Honestly, even 5 years old is not too young to start talking a little bit about it. And I'm going to recommend two books. It's one book and then a book, similar book for younger people. People can just find it on Amazon. It's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And the second book is Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior, for the younger kids. It provides, and it's by, the author is Kristen Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N. Kristen Jensen wrote these books, and they're excellent material. They teach us to train our children, first of all, to recognize the bad pictures when we see them, but then to turn our heads and to tell a responsible adult that you've seen them, tell them what you saw, and then work to put those pictures out of your mind immediately as best you can. As soon as you see it, you turn your head, don't look, and tell an adult. Those are very key elements in training our kids. It's so important. We can't have cultural change unless we train our children.
And I'd even jump in there and say, and then immediately send a request to God and say, Lord,
Amen.
That picture that I just saw, I take it captive in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Replace that picture with a good picture. And ask him to erase it and replace it with something good. And what grieves me is that even when children are innocently on the internet doing work for school,
yep,
they come across these inappropriate pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if they're at a friend's house, many, many times I have heard, you know, my kids, we have Covenant Eyes, I see their accountability reports, and we protect them, we talk about it at home, but then they go to a friend's house and they see it at their friend's house. They need to be trained on what to do when they see it.
Yes.
But you're right. Immediately pray to God. I'm a great believer in prayer, as I said. And you pray to God. Because so often kids who haven't been trained properly, they will dwell on the picture. They'll dwell on the pornography, probably not even knowing what it is the first time they see it. And they say, what is this?
Yes.
And then they have a sense of shame. And that sense of shame prevents them from talking to their parents. It also prevents them from talking with God. It's important to talk to let them know it's okay to talk about this. It's okay. And we need to talk about it.
Well, I know we have many listeners, church leaders, and lay people who desire to learn more about this process of building accountability and integrity within their marriage and family. Where can they get more information?
Oh, I'm glad to respond to any requests. We have a lot of resources here at Covenant Eyes, and also people who we talk to, counselors that we talk to, and we can provide a list of counselors. If you write resources at CovenantEyes.com, your question will probably be answered. That is where we provide resources. But I'd also be willing to take requests from individuals just to my personal email address. And my email address is Ron, R-O-N, dot DeHaas, and that is D-E-H-A-A-S, as in Sam. So that's ron.dehaas@covenanteyes.com. And I would be glad to, if you put in the subject line information on pornography, I'll know what that's about, because I get a lot of emails, so I want to be sure that I don't just delete it. So, and another thing that that's important is, you know, only 7% of churches have any program whatsoever, or have ever had any program whatsoever to deal with pornography. We really need some champions who are maybe have come out of the pornography issue, or who just have the burden on their heart. I want to deal with this. We need some champions who are willing to work in their churches to establish a community that will recognize and deal with this issue. It's not just a community. We don't need just communities of people who are addicts or things like that. We really need communities of believers who are willing to provide resources, to reach out to their community. This can be an evangelistic outreach, actually, to reach out to their communities to tell people about the dangers of pornography and what the true answer is of Jesus Christ. This is the church needs this. And if only 7% of the churches have ever had anything, we have a long way to go. Whenever there's a secret life in a person's life, it, of course, damages their relationship with their family, and perhaps they lose their job over it. It damages their relationship in their community. It damages their relationship in their ministry, in church. They can't carry on this ministry when they have this secret life. And, of course, it impedes their relationship with God. And so this this idea of having a resource that is church-based in your own church, having a community that is already dealing with this issue. And so, again, I'd be glad to... one thing we do at Covenant Eyes is we try to provide resources for communities like that. We have a lot of video material on the aspects of pornography, the solutions, and so on. Be glad to share that. Again, if you write me... and if you do want information on if you're interested in being a champion for this topic, and put in the subject line information on communities, I'll be sure that we can provide you information on how to get that started in your church. We need it. We need it for a cultural change. The church needs to lead the way.
Well, we so appreciate having you today, Ron, and giving us these very concrete, tangible ways that we can walk in victory. And then you're a great resource that I hope our listeners wrote down your email address. It's Ron, R-O-N, dot, DeHaas, D-E-H-A-A-S, at CovenantEyes.com.
Right.
We have just a minute left, but could you close us in prayer?
I will. Father God, you are a great and glorious God. We thank you that you have already provided the victory, that the victory is already won, and that through Jesus Christ we can share in that victory. We pray, Father, that as we live by the Spirit, you will continue to put to death the deeds of the body, and that we can look forward to eternal life. We pray, Father, that we, and along with our listeners, would just have a heart for obedience, obedience from the heart that will lead to that righteousness. And through that righteousness, that you will guide us in our sanctification, to be set apart for you. And through our sanctification, we just praise and give you all the glory that we can have eternal life. And we do thank you for that, Father. We pray that every listener who is struggling with this issue, either themselves or for a loved one, will have a renewed hope, a renewed confidence that you are the true answer, that there really is hope for the future and hope for a brighter and more glorious future. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.